Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our consideration today comes to us from the book of Acts, chapter 5. We read, "The high priest rose up, and all who were with him," that is, the party of the Sadducees, "and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, 'Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life.'" This is our text for today. Dear friends in Christ, the justice system these days has in it some rather interesting excuses for bad behavior. People, in an attempt to claim innocence, will say things like, they made me do it. It's not my fault. I feared for my life if I didn't do it, so I did it. I was under orders to do it, so I was just following orders. I did it. Fact is, we listened to Nazi soldiers say many of those things during the trials after the war. We heard things like the Holocaust was something the soldiers had to do. They had to do it, whether they wanted to do it or not. They were ordered to do those terrible things. They had no choice but to obey their superiors. Many of those people insisted that they never would have done that. Never would have done those terrible things if they hadn't been threatened themselves. They either did it or they were executed themselves. So you see, their excuse was, it was them or us. You know, in their minds, this wasn't mass murder, even though a lot of people were deliberately killed. In their minds, this whole thing was self-defense. The soldiers were forced to do it, or they would pay with their own lives. Now, the logic to that defense was quite simply that they were innocent. Innocent of all of these horrible things, because, you see, they were not the kind of people who would ordinarily do that. These circumstances were different. They were such that they had no choice. And so, you see, they will insist they were not to blame, but rather their superiors were to blame. And as it turns out, with the military hierarchy what it is, there was always someone else to blame. Right up the chain of command, everyone blamed that person under whose authority they were acting. Well, as it turned out, that defense rarely worked. Although it did one thing, it made people stop and think, what would I have done if I were told to do it or else? Interesting question. What would I have done if I were told, you better do that, or you yourself will pay with your life? The question is whether basic moral judgment would be superseded by the threat of death. Simple as that. Now, you and I all understand that bad behavior certainly has bad consequences. You do the crime, you do the time, is how the saying goes. You made your nest, now you've got to lay in it. And that premise is understood to be a deterrent for bad behavior. You know, if people think twice before breaking the law, you know, if you are aware of the personal cost that might be yours doing this behavior, maybe you'll choose not to misbehave, not to do those things that might cost you in the long run. And to some extent, this theory has worked out fairly well. fact of the matter is, all of us teach our kids early on that they're going to be held accountable for what they say and do. It's a difficult lesson to learn, but we've all learned it along the way. You know, that we need to think before we act. We need to think before we speak, because we are held accountable for our words and actions. Well, that's the first side of our coin this morning. We've looked at the negative consequences for bad behavior. However, our text brings another interesting point to mind, and that is the negative consequences for good behavior. It's a strange thing that sometimes happens. These disciples really had done nothing wrong. They had been preaching the gospel. They had been telling the people the good news of forgiveness, complete and without bounds. Forgiveness that was there in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. They had only been teaching people the hope that they might have of salvation in what Jesus did, living that perfect life and then dying the innocent death. They had been teaching the people about the promise of eternal life in paradise that Christ earned for them on the cross and guaranteed to them when he woke up and walked away from his grave that first Easter morning. Now, there's nothing wrong with that message. It was the truth. In fact, I think everybody agreed it was the truth. It gave people security and hope. You know, it was good for them to hear these things. Not to speak of the fact that these disciples were simply doing what God commanded them to do. They were acting on his great commission. Nevertheless, we find them in prison. We find them in prison for having done God's will. Somehow they were suffering bad consequences for good behavior. Bad consequences for God-pleasing behavior. Now, it begs the question, a question that surely came to their minds as they sat in that prison. They were surely thinking, what should we do if we ever get out of here? It's a horrible place. We don't ever want to come back here. Being here in this prison is a deterrent to the behavior that got me here. Well, the angel of the Lord appeared and set them free. And as they were leaving the prison, no doubt happy about being released, as they were leaving the prison, oh, and by the way, hoping they never came back again, as they were leaving the prison, the angel said to them, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of life. Now, that angel was giving them a message from God. That's what angels do. They are God's messengers. So this angel was simply telling those disciples what God wanted them to hear. And in effect, he is telling them to go and do the very thing that got them sent to the prison in the first place. The angel says to them, go back where you've come from, go back where you were arrested, gather a crowd of people together, and then teach them and preach to them the good news of Jesus Christ. What do you suppose those disciples thought about that? What do you suppose they said to that angel? You know, when you think about it, they knew that if they went back there, the soldiers would be there sure as shooting, and those soldiers wouldn't care that the angel told them to do that. Those soldiers wouldn't care that God told the angel to tell them to do that. The soldiers wouldn't care that these disciples were only acting on orders from above, so to speak. Those excuses simply would not hold water for the disciples, any more so than when those same excuses are used for bad behavior these days. The soldiers would simply arrest them again, not caring who told them to do it. The fact is, they did it, and now they would have to pay the consequences once again. So what did the disciples do after the angels gave them the command to go back and do what got them into the prison in the first place? What did they do? Well, the verses following our text for today tell us exactly what they did. It says in Scripture, the next day they got up, they went back to the temple, they gathered the people together and began to teach them, began to do the very thing that got them arrested in the first place. Well, as you might expect, someone spotted them doing that, alerted the soldiers that they were back in business again. The soldiers came and arrested them a second time, took them before a judge, and the judge said, "We told you not to do that, and you did it anyway. What are you thinking? What's the matter with you?" And Peter responded, "Well, it's very simple. We must obey God rather than man. We must obey God's commands rather than man's commands, no matter what the consequences might be." So now you're probably all wondering what this has to do with us, with you and me. Well, the fact is, we have the same command that those disciples had. We have God's command to go and share our faith, to go and teach others about Jesus. And this is not an optional affair. It's not something we can do or not do, depending on how we feel about it. God tells us to do it, period, to share Jesus with others. Now, let me assure you that these days, Christians are rarely imprisoned for sharing their faith. They are rarely beheaded, burned at the stake, fed to the lions, or any of that other terrible stuff that early Christians were subjected to. Nevertheless, Christian behavior is not without its negative consequences. Unfortunate as that may be, even these days, it is not unusual to pay a price for being God's people, to pay a price for behaving the way God wants us to behave. It's not unusual to pay a price for doing what he tells us, what he commands us to do. And if you don't believe that, talk to any teenager these days, and they will tell you that peer pressure has a huge impact on their behavior, or at least their consideration of behavior. You know, bad behavior is quite often the norm. And they hear, "Well, come on, everybody's doing it." They hear that every day. They hear other kids saying to them, "Well, if you don't do it, then you're out. You're not part of the crowd." And good behavior is often mocked and made fun of. Kids who behave correctly, behave as God wants them to behave, are quite often labeled, you know, sissies or do-gooders. And sometimes they're even told, "Well, if you're going to do that kind of behavior, then, you know, that's unacceptable in the crowd that we are all part of." So what is a kid to do? What is a kid to do? And I'll tell you something else. Adults are not exempt from this whole business. Today, some jobs require less than truthful behavior of the employees. So if you don't do it, poof, there goes your job. Some job sites, some workplaces are replete with vile temptations. And in many cases, if you don't go along with those temptations and give in, you're going to be a loner. You'll be all by yourself. Some supervisors in the world today insist on less than godly activities from their employees, and the result is that any hope of advancement is not there without that behavior, that wrong behavior. What are we to do? What are we to do? Well, of course, Peter has an immediate answer for all of those cases, the kids and the adults alike. Young or old, we must obey God rather than man. And it could have some cost attached to it. Maybe you won't be the most popular kid in school. Maybe it will put your job in jeopardy. Maybe it is the more difficult path to follow. Nevertheless, that is God's command to us. So what do we do? Well, folks, all we can do, you and I, all we can do is our best. You know, it doesn't promise to be easy to live God's life here in this world. It doesn't promise to be without struggles as we work our way through life. Most of the time, we're all pretty good at it, to tell you the truth. But for those times when, by virtue of our human weakness, we give in, then the message that we have to share with others comes to our rescue. Comes to our rescue. All of our sins were paid for by the Lord's sacrifice on the cross. None were too insignificant. None too overwhelming. The fact is, unconditional forgiveness is ours, yours and mine, earned by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Salvation is ours, yours and mine, offered to us at no cost by our Heavenly Father for His Son's sake. Eternal life in paradise awaits us, awaits you and me. It is available to us through faith in Jesus as our Savior and guaranteed to us by the empty tomb. Now, don't get me wrong here. Our behavior in this world is important. We are to avoid bad behavior at all costs, and we are to strive for good behavior no matter what. But you see, what matters most is that we are saved by grace through faith in our Savior. And in this life, that trumps all else. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that you and I have, knowing that even though our behavior is important, what matters in the end is our trust in Jesus as our Savior. May that peace keep us in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.